the Super Speedway.
Welcome to episode 190 of the Super Speedway podcast, recorded Wednesday, April 14th, 2021. I'm your host, Eric Young, and I am joined, as always, by my co-host, James Cush. Sounding a little bit better together, a little bit better today, James. Wow. It took to the first or the second sentence of the show, and it's already off the rails.
Did you miss us, everyone?
Right.
We took a week off and stumbled right back out of the gate.
Jeez. You know, and if we were real professionals, we'd just redo it. But guess what, guys? This is what you got.
This is it. We are on a time crunch.
There you go.
Know?
Yeah.
The way it goes.
Exactly. Yeah. So James has the new mic this week and sound a little bit better.
Let's see how it goes.
Might fool everybody and make them think you're in the room with me, James. But
maybe we'll see.
The magic of the internet. Yep. I've got a new pug puppy, and the family is babysitting it in the living room right now, just outside of the podcast studio. So, if there's noise that occurs in the background, well, it's
the new, future star of our show.
Yeah.
I'm betting on that.
He's pretty quiet right now, but I'm sure that will change.
Oh yeah. He hasn't hit full adolescence yet.
Exactly.
Just wait.
Exactly.
Oh, man. He's gonna be all up in your business.
It was my mother-in-law's dog that taught Bella how to bark. So I'm sure that eventually they'll meet and he will teach this one how to bark too.
Well,
so.
don't bring him over to my house, because my Basset will definitely teach him how to bark.
Yeah, but he's got a great bark. If he could bark like a Basset hound, that would be awesome.
Well, I mean, you want to hear him bark, you just come pick him up anytime you want.
I'm good.
Yeah, one's enough.
There you go. So James, I ordered on Amazon a pack of 12 sound dampening boards to hang in here.
Oh man, and you're going full blow.
Well, I had them in the old podcast studio too, but the ones I had at the old one were foam and they were black, and they worked there because it was kind of off to the corner where nobody went. But like, this is really visible from the living room in this house.
Yeah.
So I had to get some white ones that kind of blend in with the walls a little bit better. But I haven't hung them yet, so it's still echoey in here.
Well, that was a full pandemic ago. I mean, this is, you know, you were recording in a shoebox apartment for 14 months. So
right, yeah, exactly.
It's got to be an improvement.
Yeah, the foam ones that I had from the old studio were in a box in our storage unit, and they did not fare very well. So
yes, I can only imagine.
Those are being retired. So. But we're back this week to talk about some Martinsville racing. It was the Blue Emu.
Let me help you, Eric. It was the Blue Emu Maximum Pain Relief 500.
Yes. Yeah.
Eric, what happened to you over the break, man?
Don't know, man. It's the pug. I'm telling you.
Lack of sleep?
No, yeah, but it hasn't been that bad. He sleeps through the night.
Well, here's the thing. You're catching me. So the baby finally is like getting, I'm knocking on wood.
Now you just woke it up.
I know. Yeah. So she's been sleeping the last three nights and I've been waking up like super well rested. So I feel fantastic.
That's why you sound all fiery today. And
we are on the opposite ends of the spectrum right now.
You've been on social media too. Our private chats.
I'm really feisty lately. I don't know what my problem is.
Yeah.
I'm going through something.
Trying to stir up crap. Maybe we'll start some fights tonight. That'll be good.
Good. Yeah, let's do it. I'm in. I'm ready.
So we got our first repeat winner of the season. Martin Truex Jr. wins at Martinsville. I don't know. I guess I should pull the stats up here and maybe I could talk about this race a little bit.
Yeah.
You'd think I'd have been prepared before the show.
Well, you know, that's how we roll.
Yeah. So Truex only led 20 laps on this race. He led two times for that.
Most important one, by the way.
Yeah. The race was instead dominated by Denny Hamlin and Ryan Blaney. I thought this was Blaney's race. I thought for sure Blaney was going to get this
thing.
Yeah,
it was. That last caution was the nail in the coffin for him, which sucks because he was chomping on Denny Hamlin's rear bumper.
Yep.
And, man, I was really pulling for him for many reasons, not fantasy related.
I was cheering for Denny because I just wanted the
streak.
Yeah, I wanted the new winners to keep going. And then, you know, Chase Elliott was waiting right there too. And I was looking forward to seeing Chase Elliott and Denny Hamlin get into it or something, but
I don't think
Chase has got in him. I don't think Chase would have done it.
But. I don't know. I don't know. He's riding that championship wave right now. So,
yeah.
I mean, he might have just let it go, but
it'd
I don't know.
Fun.
An elusive win for a couple of these guys. You know, Denny, Denny's dominating the point standing, so I mean he's not going anywhere. So he's got that regular season lock. So he doesn't technically need to win.
And he's going to though. I mean it's just a matter of time. He's right there every week.
Yeah, yeah, he is. He's going to win, and Ryan Blaney's going to win some more too. I know Hamlin led the most laps, but Blaney won the stages and was just, you know, had that long run speed, Eric, that, you know, fared well earlier in the day.
Yep.
And then it got really choppy there in that last stage. A lot of wrecks, red flag. As Martinsville
often does.
Yep.
How do you wreck 12 cars or whatever, however many were in that wreck at terrible. Martinsville? Coming out of the turn, it wasn't even on the end of the, at the end of the straightaway. Well,
that's the thing. Like you think Martinsville is slow,
right?
It's not as slow as you think it is. Go back a few years and watch that Truex Casey Kane crash there. Just Google that.
Well, the thing is there's just so much torque in those cars coming off the turns that they get up to speed quick.
And there's nowhere to go at Martinsville. I mean, you really are. You're fighting in a, you know, you're fighting in a pit there. So that happened quick and took out a lot of contenders.
It did.
You know, I mean, I say contenders, but, you know, more so main names.
Brad Keselowski was there. I mean,
he was there. He was having trouble, though. Yeah, he spun a couple of times.
Yeah.
He got clipped in that one. Wasn't Bubba in there, too?
He was rallied. In it. Yeah.
Yeah. But there was a couple of guys that were, you know, Kyle Busch, obviously.
Yep.
Kyle did not want to give up the line, so he just took it.
Yeah.
Kind of catered the whole thing, but that was DiBenedetto, I think, was involved too. I mean, there was a, you know, a handful that really got taken out there in that late crash, but that was it. I mean, that pit stop on the 12 team, you got to think like there's got to be something going on, you know, talks are being had, because that was a race costing pit stop for those guys, which sucks, because you get it all on the track and then you blow it, you know, in a pit stop. But that's NASCAR Cup racing.
Yeah, I mean that's why we do it. And I mean, it's been a trend with Blaney's team too, that they fall off when they need to perform and they aren't able to. And
yes,
but Martin Truex benefits from it, gets the win. I said, first 2-time winner of the season. Ran good all day, third place in both first two stages. So,
What do we think of Martin Truex Jr., the short track ace now?
I don't know how it happened, but suddenly
0 for 80, going into when he won his first one. And now he's got five wins here very recently. So he's, that team, I mean, they probably could have won the fall race, thinking back on it too, towards the end of last year. But yeah, definitely. I mean, he won this race a year ago. Well, not a year ago. We had the wonky, we had that wonky gap in time last year. But I mean, this spring race, I guess you'd say, won that one a year ago. So not a surprise that Martin Truex Jr. won. But that team, Eric, looks like we've got something going on there. That was an atypical Martin Truex Jr. win, wouldn't you say? I mean, usually he doesn't rally. Usually when they show up, they're fast and they kick everybody's butt.
Yeah, he does tend to dominate races.
That was a rally.
That's scary. I mean, for everybody, if he can pull that off and do the Kevin Harvick-esque win, you know, that comes out of nowhere. The best part is we go to Richmond this weekend and it's just another race that he could win.
Well, that's what I'm, and that's kind of where I'm going to. You know, he won Phoenix, and that's 750. He won Martinsville, heading into Richmond now. So we've got all these playoff tracks. He's got two wins. You know, he's the two most important tracks at the end of the playoffs, Martinsville, then leading into Phoenix, obviously for the championship. He's only led a total of 84 laps in those two races, but found a way to get them both. And you know, if we're looking at championship contenders, he's the guy right now, no doubt about it. That 19 team looks like the 78 team of old, just by the ways of, you know, getting these wins, but, doing it in a different way, which, like you said, I'll second that. Definitely scary. If Martin Truex Jr. is getting better throughout a race like that, you know, that's something that the field's probably got to be peeking over their shoulder a little bit.
Yeah. And we've talked all season that at some point somebody's going to go on a run and we're going to stop having these new winners. And, I mean, who better than Martin Truex Jr. to be that guy?
Yeah. You know? Yeah, absolutely.
It's happening at the right time for him. Of course, we leave Richmond and go to Talladega, and that's a crapshoot, and you never know what's going to happen there. But
sure, yeah. But
Truex is good everywhere. I mean, he's good on mile and a half. Although he's struggled on mile and a half lately. Now he's great on short tracks, you know.
Well, and you know, we discredit Martin Truex's season last year because he only had the one win. But remember late last summer, Eric, when we got to Kansas, New Hampshire, Michigan, he went on that run of, what was it? I'm looking at the stats right now. It was 8 top four finishes in a row.
Yeah.
He didn't have a win.
If you took his second place finishes in his career, he'd probably have double the wins if you made them all wins.
Yeah, exactly. He had a bunch of those last year too. It's not like he wasn't up front. It's just that they weren't closing. But maybe that's just James Small and that team, you know, getting another year of experience under their belt. Now they've had a full season of trials and tribulations, I guess. But now they're back.
All those people that said Truex couldn't win without Cole Pearn.
Yeah, he's got three of them now. Yeah. So, I mean, he's winning races.
He's definitely, you know, we say this every time somebody wins, but he's a championship favorite. None of us would be surprised if he was in the final four.
Yep. Yep. It's completely. And I feel like we've had, you know, when he wins these races, it's been a minute since we've talked about him historically. But, you know, this second wave of his career, the second act, I guess, has just been, I mean, just by itself, just one of the most incredible, you know, Hall of Fame type runs we've ever seen in the sport.
Yeah.
You know, we compare him to Dale Jarrett, you know, that's the one that kind of stands out, but he's surpassing him now at this point with the numbers that he's starting to put up. Well, and it's just been incredible.
Dale Jr. shared a little nugget on his show, his podcast, last week. Cause I'm behind cause I've been working from home. So I haven't been listening to the show much, but, he tried to get Hendrick to hire Truex.
Yes. That was a great nugget.
Yeah.
Yes.
I didn't realize that. Doesn't surprise me cause Junior's pretty faithful to the guys that he works with. And I know he and Truex had a good relationship and continue to have a good relationship. So, that'd have been interesting. And then, I stumbled across an old Graham Norton. I think it's Graham. No, not Graham Norton. Graham Norton's the other show, but whatever the show is, the guy did the Kyle Busch thing that always gets these great interviews. He had Brad Keselowski a while back, and Keselowski talked about that he was scheduled to go, like he had a promise from Hendrick to go to the 5 car when Mark Martin retired.
Yes.
And then Mark Martin won that race, and that was the end of Brad Keselowski going to Hendrick. So that makes me go back to, you know, we talk about the thoughts of Keselowski going to Hendrick Motorsports now, but he's probably still got a chip there from that. And you don't really want to go to Hendrick.
He very well might. Well, that's the running joke that we've had is where's James putting people. And he's the main one, but
they're all going to 2311.
They're all going 2311 racing. You're right, Eric. It's, you know, speaking of Dale Jr., we're going to talk about this in a minute, but, eye for talent, that guy, you think?
Yeah.
By the way, we'll talk about that when we get to the Xfinity Series race. Just wanted to mention that because another junior motorsports breakthrough.
Yeah.
That we'll get into after we finish up with the cup here. But Martin Truex, he's never been one of my favorite. I've been pretty vocal about that. But
yeah,
you know,
you've been pretty hard on him in his career.
Yeah. And the thing is the more these guys, you know, make me eat crow, the more I start to warm up to him a little bit. And
right.
You can't deny the dominance, which is, the same thing like it happened with Jeff Gordon and the same thing with Kyle Busch. You know, I like to poke fun at Kyle Busch, but I have no denials that is the best talent I think maybe I've ever seen behind a wheel. So,
right.
You know, it's just Martin Truex Jr. is just, and this team is just incredible what they've been able to do.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, there's still things about Truex that I'm not a fan of. I'm with you on the whole, he likes to talk big, but never backs it up type of thing. That drives me crazy with drivers. And that's definitely a Martin Truex issue. And and I mean,
he's not confrontational.
That's been acknowledged by his buddy, Dale Jr. So, I mean,
yeah.
And I'm sure Truex probably would acknowledge it too, if he would.
I think, it cost him a championship, honestly, the 2018 title. I think that they could have won that title if he was a little bit more of a Logano, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Well, and other drivers have said it too, because people will make comments about how he doesn't like the way people are racing him. And it's just,
screaming, you know, at a spotter, things like that.
Right. But now the one thing I will say is that Truex isn't one that will sit there and say, I shouldn't be raced like that, and then race other people like that. Like, I don't know, Tony Stewart used to do. You know, he will race people with the same respect that he expects to be raced with, and that has cost him races.
I'm glad we're talking about this too, Eric, because I think that, you know, we see it that way. But when Joey Logano and him got together halfway through the race, do you remember this? Joey got into him pretty big and could have stayed in the throttle all the way down the front stretch and bulldozed his way into turn one. Joey gave that spot back.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wonder if part of that is respect for Martin Truex Jr. or, I don't know why Joey would have done that. Joey doesn't seem like the type of guy.
It's not in Joey's nature.
It's not Joey's nature, right?
Maybe he didn't realize who it was that he was going to get wrecked by and thought Truex was going to dump him.
He's flipping Blaney off during the race, which is his teammate. Right. You know, he's all over the place. But, you know, I wonder, Eric, if maybe I'll speak for myself. Maybe I've misread Martin a little bit. Because when Joey did that, and gave him his spot back, I just saw that as a sign of champ. Maybe it's champion's respect.
Yeah.
That you see there. I mean, those guys, you know, both have held the crown.
Right.
They may not like each other, but, you know, I don't know if Joey cuts other guys that same break. I don't know. I know these guys have had a past, but still, Joey backing off and giving somebody the lane, you just don't see it. Well, maybe that's Matt Kenseth, you know, too.
Well, let me give one. Yeah, exactly. Let me give you one here. Martin Truex Jr. is Mark Martin with the championship.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, he asks to be raced the same way that Mark did. He wants to be raced with respect. He races others with respect. It just, the difference is that when Mark did it, half the field was still racing that way, and some of the young guys coming in weren't. And now that Truex is doing it, nobody races like that anymore.
No, it's definitely a young man.
He's the odd man out now. It's the way the Xfinity, and that's why the Xfinity series is so good, because nobody has any respect for anybody.
right. And you got these couple guys coming in that don't respect each other. But, you know, that goes back to, you know, Joey and Martin are both champions, and when you've held the crown. I guess, you know, they say heavy is the weight that wears the crown, right? Or heavy is the head that wears the crown. You know, you feel some of that pressure, and maybe that's where some of that comes from. I don't know, but still, I thought that was kind of I kind of shook my head at the time. But now that we're talking this out on the podcast, one of the great reasons I love doing this with you is, it helps me have a better view on those types of perspectives. So, kind of a cool deal, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, even though Joey was all over the place on Sunday, but still good show from those guys
making friends like normal.
That's right. That's right. With his grin, you know, that short track racing, right? Denny Hamlin.
Oh yeah.
I can't do it like Denny. I'm not going to try.
I got to find on the soundboard.
Short track racing.
There you go.
Oh, I forgot we had that on the soundboard.
Oh yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Good.
It's just labeled as Denny Hamlin now, so I'm like, is that the right one? I don't.
That's got.
I changed the soundboard a while back because when I got the new iPad, there was a delay on the old soundboard, and it drove me crazy. So this one has no delay, but I'm still not used to it. Yeah, it actually is nicer because the buttons are way bigger, and it's really easy to see.
Drop those sound bites. I love that.
Yeah. so we made it. Let's see here. 56 laps. On Saturday night when this race was supposed to run, got some rain and that was the end of it. We finished it up on Sunday and James, I'm trying to remember back. This is what, the third scheduled night race.
For Martinsville? They've all been a disaster.
Yeah. We've had a problem with every single one. Maybe we should just run this race in the day and finish it at night. Like ends up it's happening like, in the fall.
It's like when we moved the Daytona 500 date, you know, it started getting wrecked by rain. I don't know why the night race seems cursed. You know, I'm glad you put that in the notes because I thought about that. And there it was in the notes staring right at me.
So I feel like cool. The spring Martinsville race has been a disaster no matter what. But whoever thought running it at night was a good idea.
I know. We love the idea of the night race at Martinsville. It just hasn't worked out.
It's just the wrong time of year.
I guess, yeah.
And that's like, you know, again, Junior had Marcus Smith on his show and they were talking about switching Bristol and Sonoma dates, And Marcus said that the reason that Sonoma looks so awesome this time of year is it's the rainy season. But at least that's a road course. And if you race in the rain, who cares? Yeah. Of course, you know, they're testing rain tires at Martinsville. I guess we didn't put this in the notes, but, you know, that maybe in the future we'll run in the rain at Martinsville. But
yeah,
I don't know.
Hey, I'm for that. I'm for that.
I don't know if I am, man. I'm good with it on the road
course.
I'm
good with anything once, you know? Yeah.
I mean, we've run on dirt. I mean, why not?
What the hell ever. Yeah, I know.
Let's run an ice race too.
Well, you probably can't switch the Bristol date at this point because they're still that track's still covered in dirt. They haven't got the teardown started yet. They're still racing on the day.
Yeah, I think the World Outlaw Sprint Cars race this weekend there.
Yeah, so there's more Bristol dirt coming. So they're getting the full gauntlet. So
yeah,
but yeah, I'm good.
Junior's prediction on the show was that in 10 years that place will be ripped up and it will be a permanent dirt track.
Oh, really?
It's interesting. Interesting thought.
Not North Wilkesboro?
No, North Wilkesboro, I think the track is in better condition than the stands.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah. I had read that you know, that you could maybe see North Wilkesboro becoming the permanent dirt track on the circuit. So I don't know.
The problem is it's just the North Wilkesboro.
That's hearsay stuff.
As everybody wants North Wilkesboro to come back, the reason that North Wilkesboro died is where it's at. And that's not going to change if you revamp the track.
Well, Marcus Smith was, you know, wink winking about it. We'll see. I know he got everybody all riled up. So
yeah, he likes to give some info out on the old download.
Listen, he's not stupid. He's going to say things like that, gauge the interest, and put the data behind it before he does anything.
No,
so.
And he took a shot at me because I posted on Twitter the week.
He did? I didn't see this.
Well, not officially at me.
Oh, okay.
But I felt it personally. So I posted on Twitter the weekend, I think Sunday when the dirt race got rained out, that you can't take a bunch of asphalt guys and have them build a dirt track and expect it to be successful. And he commented on Junior's show. He said, where's the asphalt guys? He says, we got dirt tracks. We know what we're doing with dirt tracks. It's like, yeah, right. Whatever, Marcus.
Okay, Marcus.
Although I know they've had some disasters at the dirt tracks with dust and stuff too. So maybe they're not as good at it as they like to think they are.
Maybe not. We'll see.
They're not Tony Stewart. So.
Yeah, that's right.
I'll give Smoke his jabs every now and then, but the guy knows how to run a dirt race.
Yes, he does. So yeah, got a good team.
Anything else with the cup race we need to discuss?
Corey
LaJoy finishes dead last. Another bad finish for him after the Bristol wreck.
Some good runs. I mean, Chris Bell, Tyler Reddick, all up there. Kyle Larson. Don't sleep on that run. Yeah.
Fifth place for Kyle Larson is a victory.
This is his worst track, and to come here with Hendrick Motorsports and get that done. I mean, William Byron, I mean, Bowman was running great.
Yep.
Again, another one of my fantasy players. Yeah. He got caught up in that mess. But not so good of a finish there. But, you know, it was a really great run for a lot of guys. Kevin Harvick, once again, just a workman's effort for a top 10. You know,
yeah,
Kyle
he's
Bush,
just top 10 in the season away.
Yep. You know, and we have high expectations for Kevin Harvick, but maybe this is more of a Kevin Harvick type of year. He's just kind of hanging around.
Yep, he'll be there till it matters.
He will. Yeah. Yeah. That's true. That's true.
All right.
Yeah, I think we can leave Martinsville in the dust, man. Well, the cup race anyway.
We'll hit on the Xfinity race here real quick. The Xfinity race, of course, started Friday night and then was postponed until Sunday at noon, actually. Got rain as well. And James hinted at it earlier. Another junior motorsports prospect, Josh Berry, gets a win in his 13th Xfinity Series start. Had some opportunities with Junior this year. Basically, from the sounds of things, Junior had, you know, sponsorship for himself and had some left over that he could run somebody else. And he picked his buddy Josh, who's been running the late model and been killer in the late model. And I mean,
for a long time in the late model, he's a short track master.
If you're going to pick a guy to run at Martinsville or to not surprise you for a win at Martinsville, it's this guy who has done as well as he has in a late model there. But I mean, we've talked a million times. You can be great at a track in a late model, but the difference between a late model and an Xfinity car are pretty big. Josh has showed some promise this year. He's gotten himself in some things that maybe
top tens. He's running well.
Yeah. He's gotten himself in some things that maybe he shouldn't have. He's had a couple of run-ins and of course he tried to drive through the grass in Atlanta, which was a poor decision. but it was just a prelude to the Supercross there that this weekend.
No, he changed Atlanta for the future.
Right, exactly, exactly. Yeah. But good on Josh for getting the win. And not just
emotional win.
Yeah, emotional win. And not just lucking into it either. He led 95 laps in the day, led more
Came
laps
from
than 29th.
Else. Yeah. I mean, awesome. Just awesome. Beat his teammate Gregson.
Yep. Yep. Gregson was coming at the end, but didn't have enough for Josh.
Yep. No, that was awesome. I mean, I don't know, Eric. It's, you know, Dale Jr.'s eye for talent. I mean, well, winning at Martinsville is no joke, you know.
Who's better?
One of the toughest places.
Who's better at the eye for talent? You know where I'm going. Kyle Busch, Dale Jr. Who's got
it's
it?
Kyle Busch. It's Kyle Busch, Dale Jr., and a distant third is Brad Keselowski.
Yeah. See, you know, Brad's guys, is funny because Brad's didn't come to fruition right away, but they are now.
Yeah, you know, Brad's is definitely a long-term game. I mean, we're seeing some of the seeds being sown there still. Yeah.
Chase Briscoe and Austin Cindric. Chase just made it to the Xfinity Series and Cup Series, and Cindric will, you know, is a shoe-in for next year.
Yeah, well, and you know, I think it's Dale Jr. right now, Eric, but he's been doing it a lot longer. But you know, he's got the Truex Championships, Xfinity and Cup,
right?
Under his reign. I mean, he brought along Brad Keselowski, so I guess he gets credit for all that too.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of guys under the junior banner. Kyle's got, you know, the Eric Joneses and, you know, Christopher Bells and of the world. They're all kind of in the Kyle Busch camp too. So there's Kyle Busch is still writing his history on that one.
See, I think the thing I like about Junior's, him bringing people up is that Junior Motorsports, you've got those guys that are your career Xfinity guys. So you've got your Justin Allgaier, you've got your Michael Annette. I mean, Michael Annette, this guy probably at this point has run his course in the Xfinity Series, right?
Yeah,
but Junior still continues to field a car for him. I'm sure sponsorship helps.
It's a good team. Yeah, it's a good team.
I'm sure Pilot and Flying J is largely responsible for Michael Annette still being in that car. But so Junior doesn't just boot everybody out so he can constantly run a revolving door of young drivers through, which KBM does.
Right. Well, and you got to remember too, he brought in Danica Patrick.
That's true.
You know, he was the one who got her into the series and then let her move along, and he'll do the same with, you know, Gregson's probably the next man up for them. But
like to say that this is the Hendrick Xfinity team, but it's not. I mean, I don't know that Junior's got as much control over it, and maybe we should be giving all the credit to his sister. You know, that's that team. Yes, they've got the relationship with Hendrick. Yes, they get resources from Hendrick, but that's Junior Motorsports. That's not Hendrick.
Yeah. Yep. Was Chance 2 a long time ago, you know, the way back in the day with Truex.
Yep.
But yeah, you're right. I mean, it's, you know, that's the whole it's a family operation, and Kelly definitely runs the show, but you know, with Josh Berry, that's just a great example of Dale Jr.'s, you know, Dale Jr. has a fondness for his days at Myrtle Beach, doesn't he?
Yep.
You know, the short track Saturday night type deal. And I wonder if that's why, you know, he went into why he was so emotional for Josh Berry, and he's not even 100% sure why. But, you know, I think that's part of it is, you know, he was able to help this guy achieve a dream. And that's really cool. Not many people can say that they've, you know, to this level, right, Eric? I mean, this is an extreme level of achieving your dream, and Dale Jr. helped foster that. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Very cool. And you know, it's probably a good time to mention this, but we're going to talk about it. Well, we were going to talk about it in the news, but we can mention it now. You know, Junior made some comments this week that, you know, we've speculated about Junior Motorsports moving to Cup for a long time.
Yeah.
And he's always been adamant that is not in the plans. But acknowledged this week that depending on what happens with this new car and how affordable it becomes, it might be something that they begin to look at.
Yeah.
And, you know, it'll be interesting to see if they decide to go that route, if they keep the Xfinity team as well, or they just go to Cup. Hopefully they'd continue to have the development team there as well. I would imagine they still would, because they still got the late model stuff and everything too. So it's just part of the building blocks. But yeah, it's an interesting note that maybe we will see. I still think, you know, you can hate on the way this car sounds all you want, but there's going to be a lot of good for this car. It's bringing a lot of attention for team owners to this sport.
Well, and NASCAR is a better place. No offense to, let me just pick one. No offense to Rick Ware Racing. you know, just as an example, I'm sorry. But the sport's better off if you've got a Dale Jr. in there. You've got a three-car team from 2311, you know. That it's just higher competition. Like we had, gosh, Eric, I have to think back to maybe 2007, 2008, that time frame when we had so many, you know, competitive teams.
Yeah, back with Red Bull and all that.
Yeah, Red Bull, Michael Waltrip, when Toyota was really expanding into the sport, we had a lot of influx of really high-quality NASCAR Cup teams. So if we can get a Dale Jr. to come up and you see a team like Trackhouse start to make some real progress, and Spire's got some ideas as well on how they can still advance. So I think we're heading in the right direction. If this new car is going to do anything, I think we need a JR Motorsports to come on up and take a look, you know. Colleague Racing, they're taking a look. They're going to come up to Cup.
Yeah.
That's going to be another, you know, that's not going to be a slouch team. That's going to be a good top 15, 25, you know, they're going to be in that range every week when they come up to the sport. They're going to be good. They're going to be solid, you know. Not going to be competing with Gibbs and Hendrick right away, but maybe with the new car, you've got that balance that they're talking about too. So we'll see.
You mentioned Rick Ware Racing, and I just wanted to, you made me remember that I wanted to give a little shout out to. I loved Mike Joy calling out Cody Ware during the race that it was his third caution that he'd been involved in.
And that's Cody Ware.
it was so good. And we've got this in the notes too, but James Davison and Cody Ware, teammates battling each other, fighting with each other and running into each other at Martinsville. I put it in the notes because it's a news story, but I mean, do we really care about these guys?
We had lots of like curmudgeons out there. Yeah.
I mean, so seriously, we're back to the Xfinity race. We had a fight at the end of the race. James, Greg Alding, Joe Graff Jr. fought.
Yep.
I mean, so that's a big deal, right? I mean, where did they finish in the race?
Joe Graff was 38th. You know,
we got guys back markers fighting. Who gives a crap?
I know it's tough, but
reminds you that everybody there is racing a race, whether it's on TV or not. But
yeah,
I mean, it's just funny.
I know.
I didn't even know we had a fight because I shut the broadcast off and I saw it on YouTube the next day after the cup race.
I know. And Joe Graff, he drives for one of my favorite car owner names of car owners, Bobby Dotter, which is just a great, it's a great NASCAR car owner name. Sounds like it's something out of Talladega Nights. So that's always good to reference. Eric, before we get out of the Xfinity race, I do want to draw your attention to one driver. Again, really quick.
Yeah. I know where you're going.
Ty freaking Gibbs, man. Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
I don't know where he came from, but dude, this kid is something. It's not a fluke now, right? At this point, it can't be a fluke.
No, Eric, he's run three races, top four finishes at the Daytona Road Course, Phoenix, and Martinsville.
Yeah.
He's not lucking into, you know, well, super speedway.
And a top four finish, but he also led 28 laps in this one.
Well, I texted, so we have our group chat, and I texted you guys, and I'm like, I've seen it. I've seen enough. Yep. He's good. He's freaking good.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care that he's driving a Gibbs car and, you know, any of that stuff. He's good.
I mean, he's really good. He's not running the Truck Series, right? He's going straight to full-time Xfinity next year.
We'll see him run for the championship next year. Yeah. He's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
Like, if he keeps this up. I mean, we've seen guys have hot starts before. Early in their careers, but man, I don't know. This is different. This just seems different.
It's a good streak to start out with. That's for sure.
He's a good driver, man.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm just I don't know. I know he's, you know, Joe's grandson, but geez.
Yeah.
I mean, that doesn't mean you're going to be a great race car driver. I don't know. That's awesome.
Right. Anything else worth talking about in this one?
Not a whole lot.
Had a good point day, which I know because I beat you in the points this week.
I know you only beat me by one position, but you beat me by 10 points. And I led 52 laps with Harrison Burton.
Right?
Ugh.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah, and he only finished one spot behind Austin Cindric.
I know. I didn't get the stage points.
And you beat me in the cup race, so.
I know. It killed me. Harrison Burton killed. Well, Austin Cindric killed me. He's so good.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's if you want points, pick Austin Cindric, that's for sure.
Yeah, Austin Cindric's season so far, and he's running the cup race this weekend, so, you know, I've got my eyeballs on him. But, yeah, six top tens and seven starts, average finish 4.6. So, and two wins, obviously.
Daniel Hemric continues to be trouble and close to a win, finishes third.
Yeah, I think him and Noah got a little close there. I thought something might, I was hoping.
I was hoping. But Hemric, I'm telling you, he's going to get a win this year. It's coming.
He will. Yeah, he's good. Yep. Daniel can drive, man. I mean, he's a Cup Series Rookie of the Year. He can drive.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Let's talk some news, James. We already talked about the JRM thing, so we'll pass that. NASCAR Fair Board members, or not NASCAR, Nashville Fair Board members, continuing to be, I think you used the word curmudgeon earlier. This feels curmudgeon-y to me as well.
Curmudgeon-y, yeah. Well, that's my natural state.
Yeah, so Jason Bergeron, a Fair Board commissioner, raised his concerns. This is through Jayski and NBC Sports. About the time period for details on the Speedway project, expected to be revealed May 11th at a public meeting. He addressed his doubts that there would be a NASCAR racing next year at the track. I'm not clear why this isn't a longer period after that for more public input, he said. I understand there are goals here. The more I dig on this timeline of urgency, we need to be honest here. There's not going to be a NASCAR race at the Speedway in 2022. There's not. There's no way the construction of basically an entire brand new Speedway facility is going to be complete between late summer 2021 and in time for 2022. I think we need to be honest about that. Just note, he is talking about the organization that just built a dirt track on a concrete track and raced the Cup cars on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
For the first time in 50 years.
Yeah. And it's still racing. Yeah.
Yeah. And is also in talks of putting a roof on that place. So, I mean, if somebody can do it, it's Speedway Motorsports.
Let me go the other way on this then, Eric, since you're going to I don't think
he's wrong.
Don't doubt him. I agree with you. Don't doubt him. But there's a reason NASCAR is investing in Nashville Super Speedway for a couple of years here. They're going to buy themselves time. Yep. So this is not a surprise. And if it doesn't come onto the schedule till 2023, so be it. NASCAR is trying to make their presence in this area known. Their championship banquets will be held there in the future. I know we didn't get to do that last year because of COVID.
Right.
But yeah, so we've got the banquets there. We've got the Nashville Super Speedway. This will get done. And if it's 2023, so be it. That's the way to go. But I just think, you know, don't doubt. I have to agree with you. You can't doubt the group that did what they just did at Bristol.
I mean, to be completely honest, it's, you know, if you look at the tracks we've added this year and what we've done this year, I mean, you didn't expect them to race there next year, did you? I didn't expect them to race there next year.
No, I thought maybe we'd get Xfinity and trucks out there soon.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I kind of felt like that there wasn't even any goal.
Honestly, Eric, in the era of COVID and everything that we're going through, all you really need is a TV crew.
That is true. Honestly. That is true.
Get these TV crews out there to run. But, you know, I'm sure Nashville wants to make this part of the Nashville experience. And, you know, I know they've got their Grand Prix that they're working on as well. So there's a lot of motor racing stuff going through that town. I'm sure they're just trying to make it all work. But yeah, it's a big investment. I understand that. Yeah, I didn't expect it on the schedule next year. No.
Okay.
If it was gonna be on the schedule next year, I don't know if they would have invested in Nashville Super Speedway. I honestly think that's the play.
I mean, the only thing is, at least Nashville Super Speedway, that's not a NASCAR or SMI owned track. You know, Dover Motorsports is the group that's doing that.
Right.
With help from NASCAR, I'm sure. Tons of help from NASCAR.
Yeah. To get it back up to date.
But I'm with you. Would you really want two races in that market if you were expecting it to be that quick? I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I think you'll see the Nashville Super Speedway thing probably transition away.
Well, I think you're going to see Nashville Super Speedway absolutely suck.
Well, we're going to find out. I know they've been testing. I'm hopeful, but I don't know.
I'm not hopeful, James, because there isn't a track on the schedule that's concrete. I know we've only got two, plus half of Martinsville, but concrete tracks suck. I'm sorry. They just do.
Except Bristol won it. Yeah, I know.
Nashville Super Speedway has sucked. I mean, that's why it's not on the Xfinity schedule and the truck schedule. So,
yeah. How long has it been gone? Almost 10 years?
It's been a while.
Something like that. Yeah. So it's been a while.
I mean, I'm optimistic for a new track, but you take mile and a half away and then you add a mile and a half that's concrete. I just don't get it. Now, one thing I will note also that came out of the Marcus Smith discussion was he talked about the decision to run the second race at Atlanta this year And he talked a little bit about Kentucky Speedway and noted that one of the reasons for that decision was that Kentucky Speedway, they weren't sure that they were going to be able to be opened up in time for that race, whereas they knew Atlanta would let them race. That right. leads me to believe, and it wouldn't surprise me, that, I mean, there was a lot of money spent on Kentucky Speedway to make it a cup track. Yeah. I don't think they've abandoned Kentucky Speedway yet.
No, you're probably right. I think they'll be coming back.
We won't be racing another race at Chicagoland, but we will race another race at Kentucky Speedway.
I think you're right.
Xfinity and truck, but I don't see why the Cup Series doesn't go back there.
Yeah, I don't see why not either.
So, yeah. And he also discredited the excitement that everybody had over the oval Atlanta Speedway and the rendering for the casino project, and that was just a loose rendering, and they are not planning on making it an oval, but
tear it back up and put it back the way it was.
I can't remember if it was Junior or if it was Mike Davis that suggested that they just rip the asphalt out of there and make it a mile and a half dirt track. So
man, there's so many changes, Eric. I can't keep up with half of it anymore, honestly. Well, I'll tell
you can hate on SMI if you want to, but that is a group that is willing to make changes to make their tracks better. They've done how much work at New Hampshire? They still haven't fixed New Hampshire, but it's better than it used to be.
Yep.
They redid Las Vegas and made a spectacular track out of it. They put these giant freaking video screens in at Charlotte and Texas. They did the Roval at Charlotte, Bristol. Direction.
Look at Auto Club now. You know, we know we're going back to Auto Club. That's on the other side. But but still, I mean, yeah, these tracks, they're making the big investment to make the changes.
Yep.
Like they did back in the early 2000s when we made all the cookie cutters.
Yep, exactly.
We're going the other way.
Exactly. We talked about the teammates feuding. I don't think we need to devote any more time to that. Oh, I skipped over one, James. I skipped over the big news of the week.
Oh man, this is going to make me sound so bad. Can we put a disclaimer on this?
It has nothing to do with the fact that she's a woman.
That's right. It does. It doesn't. It really doesn't.
So here's the thing, James. Let me just say this to help you out a little bit.
Please help me.
The thing is. I still strongly believe if you're going to run a cup car, you should be able to demonstrate that you're capable of running a cup car. And I'm sorry, if you're going to run your first cup race and you have a track record like Jennifer Jo Cobb has, maybe it shouldn't be at Talladega Super Speedway.
Why couldn't she run Richmond?
Right.
I just don't like her going to Talladega. I don't mind if Jennifer Jo Cobb wants to make a start at Michigan or, you know, Kansas.
I don't know, man. I don't know how you set a criteria.
She's been racing a long time. I mean, Eric, she's in her mid-40s.
Yeah. That doesn't make her a good driver.
I know.
And she's not, I'm sorry, guys. It has nothing to do with the fact that she's a woman. I want a woman to be successful in NASCAR.
Listen, we reamed into Derek Cope before the Daytona 500.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He's won a Daytona 500. There's a point where you should not, this is the premier oval, not so much oval track, stock car racing. Right. I guess it would just blanket it with stock car. This is the premier stock car racing.
And we also have to put stock car in quotes.
Stock car, yeah. premier stock car racing series in the world. Can you imagine a Jennifer Jo Cobb going to F1?
I was just going to say.
Popping in at Monaco.
That's just like, there is legit, well, I guess you can't say that there's legit, legitimacy to drivers racing in the F1 series either, because I know there's controversy this year with some of the guys that are getting rides. So
there
has been in the past as
different.
Well. So
it's getting but, different. Yeah, Drive to Survive on Netflix, by the way, very good.
Yeah,
just wanted to throw that out there.
But man, I struggle with this, man. I thought you couldn't make your first start at a super speedway like this. I know others have done it, but why?
She's raced them. I guess. That's the thing is, like, I thought to myself, you know, I second guessed myself, Eric, because when I saw this news, we had our discussion already. and I'm like, well, maybe she's not as bad as I think she is. And man, I go to Racing Reference and it's all 30th and worse. And I'm just like, man.
And it's not, you know, just because she's been in crappy equipment.
It's Talladega.
Right.
It's Talla-frickin-Daga, man.
Watch her win.
It's going to
make us all look like complete asses.
Maybe she might. I don't know. I feel confident that she won't, but yeah, we can have a Talladega night situation where there's only two cars on the track. Maybe. I don't know.
Right.
I just, man, we got some, you think about the teams and the speeds and the talent that we got out there, and it's just the combination, and she just doesn't fit that bill. But to her credit, neither does Quinn Houff. So,
yeah,
but at least he's out there every week. You know, there's just a handful of drivers that don't belong out there. She's on the list, man. I'm sorry. But thank you for helping me out there, because I felt like I was going down a path.
No, I could have really easily taken the other direction and just tried to make you look like an ass.
James, it's 2021. She should be out there driving.
Right.
That's all you had to say.
Yeah, I certainly could have done it and done it well, and actually even sounded like I was actually believed it. But I couldn't do that to you, James, because I'm with you. I feel the same way.
Oh, thanks, man. Oh, geez. I was worried. I was worried. You definitely were more elegant than I would have been introducing that. So I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. See, if it was, I'm not going to say anymore. I'm just going to let it go.
Yeah. Time to wrap
that. We better move.
Time to wrap that discussion up.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find something.
Oh, geez.
I'm trying to find something for later in the show. All right. Let me go back here to the throwback race at Darlington has a sponsor. It is the Goodyear 400, James. And interestingly enough, this is the first time that Goodyear has been the entitlement sponsor for a NASCAR Cup Series race.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. I did not know that. And I, you know, they've got their fancy tires that they're going to be running with the blue stripes on the outside. They look pretty sweet.
Yeah.
So, yeah, cool. I mean, Goodyear's obviously, we don't have to, you know, we don't have to look very far to see Goodyear's investment in this sport.
Right.
You know, it's not like they haven't cared before, but yeah, to be attached to the throwback race has to be a nice, you know, touch for them. I mean, it's one of the most popular races of the year. Now that it's not the Southern 500, we still have another reason to watch Darlington. So, yeah, I think it should be good. I mean, the paint schemes are rolling out. Lots of good looking ones coming. So yeah, I like this.
I agree. Man, I wish I could find what I was looking for, but anyway, that's it for news, unless I missed something.
No, it's been 2 weeks, so I was worried we were going to miss something regardless, but I think Easter helped slow it down a little bit. So,
yeah, I agree.
We're good, man.
Quiet in the news department. So we go to Richmond Raceway this weekend for both Cup and the Truck Series. Just wanted to recap, because it can't be mentioned enough, that I beat James this week in the picks. 89-82, so it was close. Yes. If it wouldn't have been for Cindric, I would not have beat James. But because of that, I still have the lead, which means James gets to pick first this week and completely screw me over,
man.
I feel like he's going to do with the Cup pick, but I could be wrong. So let's start first. I have.
Well, I got to check the sheet to make sure. So the last truck race, I can't see who I had.
I picked Stuart Friesen, so I'm right, good.
I had Matt. So I cannot pick Matt Crafton.
Yeah, which is all right, because he's not. I mean, we don't have much to base it off of, because they've run one race here in the truck series with the current crop of drivers.
Yeah.
So first, it is the Toyota Care 250, James.
Right. Yes.
Who is your pick?
I'm going to take a Toyota driver, because I need the points. Give me John Hunter.
All right.
Last time I picked him, I think he either won or, I don't know, he scored a lot of points. So I'll take John Hunter.
He was going to be my pick, so I had my backup, and I'm just going to go with the guy who won it last year, and it's Grant Enfinger. There you go.
So two truck races ago, we had the same picks. I had John Hunter, and you had Grant Enfinger.
That's funny.
That's cool.
Okay. I'm curious where you're going to go with this one. It is the Toyota Owners 400. For the Cup Series. Who you got, James?
I'm going to take another Toyota driver.
Oh, good.
I'm going to ride the hot hand. And I'm going to go Martin Truex Jr.
That is a really good pick.
Yeah, so last couple of races here, he's got two wins. He's got an average finish of 1.3, so you can't get much better than that. That's just over the last three, I should say. But yeah, he's definitely one of the best, but Eric, I don't know where you're going with your picks, but the Penske boys are staring at me as well here. So we'll see.
I'm going to go out on a limb, and you're going to be surprised until I tell you why. So Martin Truex Jr. was on my radar, and then my actual pick, if you picked my actual pick, would have been Denny Hamlin, just because Hamlin has great history here, and I feel like he's right there. He's right there. He's going to be winning here soon.
Going to get a win.
And yeah. I wouldn't be surprised to see him do it here. But the one I'm going with is a driver that has run really well here.
He's yeah, I think I know where you're going.
Won here.
Yeah.
And we kind of forgot about him because we didn't get to see him here last year.
I know. I'm already pasting it into the sheet.
And I'm going Kyle Larson.
Yep. I'm going to ride him on my fantasy team, by the way, just so you know.
I mean, you got a guy who did well here in a not as good of a car that's now, I mean, just did as well as he did at Martinsville, a track he's bad at.
Yeah.
And now he's coming into a track that he's won at. I mean,
he's going to be good. Yep. I like it. There you go. I like it a lot. Yeah. He was on my list. But,
He was my first pick, so I'm excited. I got to make my first pick there for the Cup race.
Yeah, I like. I mean, Martin Truex Jr. has been showing me something here.
You can't go wrong with Truex, man. Yeah. You're gonna get points out of him at least.
Well, I think our picks here, though. I think we've got the two best drivers in the series. Right now.
I think so. Yeah. And you're not wrong. I mean, those Penske boys are gonna be right there in this thing.
Brad's not gonna be no slouch at this one.
Another one to look at that who's got a really good record here, and I know it's hard to look at him because he's not been reliable, but that's Kyle Busch, you know.
Yeah.
This is a place he could turn it around at as well.
Yep. And also, you know, I throw out there the RCR cars. Dylan and Reddick, if you're looking for some value picks, maybe, you know, I will talk fantasy in a little bit, but just some guys to kind of keep on your radar. So you got the RCR cars. You know, this is a good spot for possibly like a Christopher Bell. You know, you mentioned the Gibbs guys. You know, he doesn't have a long history here, but he's capable. He's highly capable of running pretty well. I like where we're going here. There's some good, heck, Eric Bubba Wallace might not be a bad choice. You know, again, looking for some value there, but just some names thrown out at you. You know. But Kyle's going to be a problem. He's led the most laps here in the last few years. So, he would have been a good pick. Even though he hasn't won a whole heck of a lot lately, you never doubt Kyle Busch. I still don't.
Yeah.
He's in the Jimmy Johnson territory.
Yeah, you certainly can never count him out. That's for sure.
Speaking of Jimmy, he's putting the rookie stripe on and heading out.
Oh, you took one of my shout-outs. It's all right. I've got five of them, but... The IndyCar series opens its schedule this weekend at the Barber Motorsports Park, I think is what it's called. Honda Indy Grand Prix of Alabama. I just pulled the page up and Jimmy Johnson gets to put the rookie stripe on the back of the IndyCar.
Yeah, that's a good rookie.
Yeah.
We'll see how he does. I'm going to tune in. I want to see how he runs.
Very excited. Yep.
And he hinted this week, Eric, possibly running the Indy 500 in next season.
Nice. Yeah. And I think it's happening.
Oh, he's going to do it. I hope he calls smoke and they figure it out.
Yeah.
Like, come on, Tony, run the thing one more time. Come on.
It would be cool.
I don't think he's going to, but that's okay.
It would be neat. Let's talk fantasy league, James.
Oh God. That was a nightmare.
I think I finished fifth, and it wasn't for Brad, I'd have been doing pretty well. At one point, there was one point in the race, James, where I had the top five guys.
Yeah, I had I had all the guys, and I had all of my bonus picks were ones, and I was like, yes, this is it. Today is my day. And then Bowman wrecked, and then Blaney had problems, and I ended up finishing eighth. I lost 60 bonus points. It's just... That's so sad.
Oh, I found my other shout out. Okay, I'm good. The thing I've been searching for entire episode, I found.
Perfect. Well, let me get through this GD Fantasy League.
Sounds good.
So, Martinsville, your winner, Tandem Draftona, Ranger Runyon, and Denny the Many, your top three.
Nice.
And then overall standings, just a second. Is Ranger? He's way out front. But Eric, we got a little bit of a clump here. Raging Redneck is second, and then for third, Freight Train's locked in at third. But then we've got Mr. Consistency, myself, Denny the Many, Baron Speedway, KB Show, Fast to the Grass. We are all within 40 points of each other.
Nice.
When you get to Fast to the Grass, we're about 50 points away. But we're all very close to that number three spot. So. The top two guys are Rangers running away with it right now, but one of our new guys, Raging Redneck, he's hanging around.
Nice.
And then there's Todd, and that's that bozo in the tower, as Eric said last week. So funny.
Love it.
So good.
Love it. All right, shout outs. I'm going to just kick it off, James, because I always go to you first, and half the time you're not ready for it. So I've got a couple of them. So first of all, I wanted to give a shout out. I know we talk Supercross on here from every now and then. Don't get into it real heavy, but you know, I'm a Supercross fan, and I know some of the people that listen to the show are Supercross fans. And I wanted to shout out Cameron McAdoo. And James, if you didn't see it, you need to search for Cameron McAdoo Atlanta 2021. Okay. They started the main event. So he's a 250 CC rider. So not the premier class, but the lower class, basically the Xfinity class in Supercross, and goes out in the main event, and they're coming down this rhythm straight away. And
I Googled him, and the first thing that came up is,
they have the tunnel jump that they normally run underneath, but Atlanta, they just had it as an actual landing jump, but this thing's, you know, three stories up in the air, almost straight up the ramp. So he came up wrong on a jump before it and went head first, top of the bike, into the face of this jump. The bike flipped over, his foot stayed connected to the bike, and he flipped back up on top of the thing. I thought I thought he was dead. Like, I thought for sure he's out. They red flagged the race to restart it. And while they're red flagged, he is negotiating with AMA and Feld Motorsports to allow him to continue. They check him out. The Alpine Stars medical crew checks him out. They clear him to race. He gets on the bike. He gets the whole shot on the restart of the race and finishes freaking third.
That's awesome. I'm watching it right now. This is great,
dude. It was insane. So I had to shout out Cameron McAdoo in this thing, because dude, just there was no bigger feat than that this weekend in racing,
guys. Supercross riders are tough as
they're
bleep.
Insane.
I'll just say bleep. They are tough as bleep because, man, they're nuts.
It's
they're
insane.
They're a whole different breed.
Yeah.
Guys on motorcycles are crazy. They all are.
Happened Tuesday night. He's going to end up, he'll race, you know, he'll run the race on Saturday. And the reason it's a big deal is because he was only a couple points behind the points leader. And basically, if he would have not been able to start the main event, his championship hopes would have been over. There's only two more races to go for the East, or the West series is what he's part of. And so by doing that, the guy he's racing won the race. So he only finished two spots behind him and keeps himself in the running for the championship going into the last two races. So
jeez,
very cool deal. And then the other one that I wanted to shout out, I joke he's my coworker because he works for Hurst as well. And my day job is for Hurst, but I wanted to shout out Matt Weaver. Great reporter for Auto Week. He's one of the hardest working NASCAR / stock car / racing reporters there is. He's all over the place when COVID's not happening. And so he wrote an article, and the reason I couldn't find it is because it was back in April, but it just kind of took off around the Bristol weekend. It's called, and I'll put the link in the show notes, it's Our Vision for the 2026 NASCAR Cup Series Schedule. And it's basically his fantasy schedule for what we could expect in 2026. And it uses a lot of the rumors, like the Chicago Street Course and stuff like that, in it. I believe the Chicago Street Course is in here. You know, it's got the new Fontana track. It's got Nashville Fairgrounds and all that stuff. It's just an interesting look. It's very fantasy, and you're going to read through it, and you're going to go, yeah, that's not going to happen. That's ridiculous. But it's not too far-fetched. It's just a good read. And I think Matt does good work, period. And it's worth reading his stuff. But for some reason, this article caught my attention. You know, it's a listicle format, so it's designed to drag you through, so you see all the ads and stuff, but it's well done. It's a neat little read. So,
that's work.
Yeah. That'll be in the show notes. So you guys can check that out as well.
Oh, good. I haven't read that yet, so I'm looking forward to it.
It's good stuff. James, cool. You got any shout outs this week?
Yeah, I do. I have two. One, I want to shout out me real quick. So right before we hopped on the pod, as you know, Eric, I like my activity app Strava. That's where my runs, right?
I know where you're going.
So we're getting ready for the podcast, and I get a notification on my phone. Bob Pockris has followed you on Strava. I'm like, whoa, that's awesome.
That is awesome.
So I looked really quick because I, you know, curiosity killed the cat, right?
Right.
He follows 45 people on this app, including, it's a small list. So I'm on this list of 45. That's why I'm geeking out, right?
Yeah.
So I'm on the list of 45 people with Dale Jr., Jeff Gluck, Jimmy Johnson, Marty Smith, Alan Kavanagh. hold on. There's a couple more I want to throw out there. Just some names. I know I'm just part of these names now, Eric. Me and my friend Bob. Josh Wise, Landon Castle. Let me see. Hold on. There's more. There's more good ones. Scott Legacy, Steve Letart, Steve O'Donnell.
Dang.
Bozo's boss. Trevor Bayne. So there you go.
Wow.
A list of 45. I made Bob's 45 favorite Strava people. Look at that.
Man,
so proud of myself.
You know,
I am blowing my smoke up my own. You know what? So
well, the Bob Podcast connection doesn't earn you the victory. I think we've talked about on the podcast before our little battle.
Our social media game.
Yeah, yes. Who has the most clout? Who's had the best interactions? I don't think that gets you the victory by any means. And if I don't count the NASCAR side, I still take the cake with the Jimmy Fallon follower. But that being said, being in the same category as the 7-time champion Jimmy Johnson,
I'm pretty proud of myself.
That's a pretty big deal. That ranks you pretty high.
Hopefully my wife doesn't listen to this. This is one of my biggest accomplishments. I don't know where it ranks, but it's right there.
Wow.
It's right there. Yeah. That comment will get back to her.
I'm messaging her right now. As soon as the show's done, I'm going to edit that particular clip out and just text it to her.
Perfect. Good. that's great. No, I'm telling you, some funny stuff, man.
That's cool. You told me the Pockers thing beforehand, but you didn't give me the list of people you were with. Although I started to put it together as you were talking about it, that Jimmy had to be on that list.
Yeah. I'm excited. Excited.
That's
so
good.
So every time this one person in the entire world looks at their feed, they're going to see Jimmy Johnson and scroll down and see me right next to him.
Awesome.
I know. It's super nerdy, super dumb. But I don't care.
No, I'm with you, man. This is
it's my own bubble, and that's fine.
We should have led with this. I mean, it's the biggest news of the week.
I think one of the coolest news of the week is my other shout out. This is a legit shout out, by the way. This isn't just me goofing off. So we've mentioned Lefty Designs on this podcast many times. He won Marcus Lemonis's truck design contest.
That is awesome.
$7,500, and he designed an awesome truck. And if you're not following Lefty on social media, shame on you, because he does great work. And I just thought it was really cool that, not only has he got a chance to design cars for his hero Jimmy Johnson, but he's making this thing happen, Eric. He's doing it. Pretty cool. So,
yeah, I'm with you. I don't have a whole lot to add with him. He's done some great work.
He's young, man. He's just a kid.
Yeah, even if you don't like his designs, they're still great. He does an excellent job with them. Some of them are a little out there from what I'd expect, but a lot of his stuff is really, really good. And his whole story, has been pretty neat to follow. So, he reminds me of, the Eric Estep or however you pronounce his name. These guys even Aaron Bearden, these guys that come kind of out of nowhere with a dream and then get involved in the sport. It's pretty neat.
You get a little break here, a little break there, and all of a sudden you're on the phone with Jimmy Johnson, and now you're winning a contest for Marcus Lemonis. And for anybody who doesn't know who that is, that's the Camping World guy.
Can we shout out Marcus Lemonis too? I mean, this guy is throwing money around in this sport nothing.
No,
it is awesome.
Yeah, he's drawing attention to his brand for sure. I mean, it's great.
I want to go to Camping World and buy a camper. I just bought a house though, so it's not going to happen. But
I'm in the market for a camper. So Marcus, if you ever hear this podcast, let's talk, man.
Yeah, hey man, if you want to sponsor the podcast, we'd be down. Totally down.
Yes, let's. Well, you know what? I'm just going to have to hit him up on social.
There you go.
What happens.
Hit him up. You're the social media expert. I'm expecting some big things out of you.
I don't know about that. We'll see.
I'm certainly not. James, where can Marcus Lemonis find you on Twitter if he wants to sponsor the show?
At James Cush on Twitter.
You can find me at TSuperSpeedway on Twitter. You can find the podcast on Facebook at facebook.com/TheSuperSpeedway. If you want more of the podcast, you can find it at TheSuperSpeedway.com. We have old shows, past episodes, old coverage of races, photos. Back in the day when COVID wasn't happening and you could actually go to the racetrack. And you can find the show notes for all the episodes with links to articles we discuss in the episode, all that stuff. So check that out, thesuperspeedway.com. You can find the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. Wherever you found us today, we hope you subscribe and continue to listen. And if you want to help out the show, you can become a patron at patreon.com/thesuperspeedway. We go to Richmond Raceway this weekend for some more NASCAR action. Hopefully the weather stays away and we can get everything in when it's supposed to run. Truck Series on tap, Cup Series on tap, and then after that, guys, we go to Talladega. I mean, yeah, what's better than that? So
she's looming.
Yeah. So we'll be back next week to discuss Richmond, break it all down, and preview Talladega. And I'm going to go play with my new pug puppy. So you guys have a good one. We'll be back next week. Until then, everybody, let's go racing.